With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. There have been a lot of changes at the New Yorker. Until 1985, it was controlled by the Fleischman family. After a not-too-friendly takeover, it's now in the hands of a conglomerate controlled by S.I. Newhouse. G.G. Mann, author of The Last Days of the New Yorker, says Harold Ross set the magazine apart when he founded it in 1925.
It was not trying to be for everybody. It was, Harold Ross said in the beginning, it was not for the little old lady from Dubuque.
Even the New Yorker's advertising was upscale.
They systematically have turned down advertisers over the years who they didn't think were in keeping with the very high tone.
Such as Sears and Roebuck. G.G. Mann says the magazine's thrust changed somewhat after editor Harold Ross died in 1952 and William Shawn took over.
Ross always thought that the New Yorker was a place for humor and urbanity, but he didn't think it was a place for a lot of serious issues or for politics. And Shawn very much changed that.
Practically from the first, outsiders hungered for control of the New Yorker.
There were always people trying to buy it. In fact, CBS tried on many occasions. There was a joke at the New Yorker, if it's spring, it's William Paley, because every spring CBS tried to buy the New Yorker.
The magazine became prey for a takeover when too much stock left the hands of the Fleischman family.
When it was first formed, Ross had paid a lot of contributors in stock because there was nothing else to pay them with.
While the 1980s and takeover mania, the magazine's fate was sealed, as G.G. Mann tells us in The Last Days of the New Yorker, published by McGraw-Hill. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. G.G. Mann, in her book, The Last Days of the New Yorker, says the timing of S.I. Newhouse was perfect when he pounced on the magazine and took it over from the Fleischman family, which had controlled it for 60 years.
Peter Fleischman, who had been quite ill and was feeling beleaguered and was worried about his son's ability to take over, be the next generation of Fleischman at the New Yorker, got sort of worn down.
Mann says S.I. Newhouse has a knack of firing people in an insensitive way, and his ouster of editor William Shawn was no exception.
In a very sudden move one day, Newhouse went into Shawn's office and said, "Here's your resignation. I'm going to announce it tomorrow. Please sign it." It was handled actually in a very clumsy manner.
As were other firings and wholesale dismissals in the business office. Robert Gottlieb, editor-in-chief of Knopf, replaced Shawn.
The jury is still slightly out. The New Yorker really hasn't changed much. He's been there exactly 2 years now, and there hasn't been a lot of change.
Except for the advertising, the kinds of ads the old New Yorker would never accept.
They've had the Calvin Klein obsession ads with the 4 or 5 bodies, however many it is, it's hard to tell. And they're also running these things called advertorials, which are advertising masquerading as New Yorker writing.
The title of G.G. Mann's book, The Last Days of the New Yorker, is a little misleading.
Well, it's meant to be really sort of an ironic title. It's kind of the last days of the old New Yorker. It's not meant to say that one of these days it's not going to be on our newsstand.
McGraw-Hill published The Last Days of the New Yorker. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.